Welcome to this week's edition of Lovers of Rebetika. My name is Con Calamaris, and every week we delve into the glorious world of Rebetika. This week we're going to take a bit of a side turn with this genre. I'm going to focus more on the bouzouki itself and the instrument and the history of the instrument, and also some of the pioneers of the bouzouki makers that existed in Athens in Greece in the early 20s. So let's start from the beginning. The bouzouki, the Greek bouzouki, as we all know, is a plucked musical instrument from the lute family called the tambouras, or it's called the thambouras or tambouras family. The tambouras existed in ancient Greece as a bandoura and can be found in various styles and shapes and depths and bodies and lengths and necks and the number of frets and also strings. The bouzouki and the baglama are direct descendants. The Greek marble relief known as Mantinella, now exhibited in the National Archaeological Museum in Athens, dating back from 330 to 320 BC, shows that a muse playing a variant of the bandoura. From Byzantine times, it was called the first bandoura and then the tambouras, which is on display in the National Museum, as I mentioned, and is a hero. The tambouras has been played by the hero of the Greek Revolution as well, from 1821, Makarios. The tambouras, other sizes have appeared and include in the Greek instruments, such as the tzoura, which is known as the smaller bouzouki. Now, the bouzouki arrived in Greece following the 1919-1922 war in Asia Minor and subsequent population exchange between the Greek and Turkish population. The early bouzouki mostly had three sets of pairs, and were tuned in different ways according to the scale they wanted to play. At the end of the 1950s, the bouzouki changed its strings combination, which gained more popularity, which switched from 6-string to 8-string. This was made very popular by the bouzouki player Manolis Hiotis, who also used the tuning of a standard guitar, which made it easier for a guitarist to play bouzouki. This angered the purist, but allowed for greater virtuosity and helped elevate the bouzouki into a more truly popular instrument, capable of playing a wide range of musical expressions. Recently, the three-string bouzouki has once again gained popularity, the 6-string. So when I say 3-string, I mean 3 sets of 2. And the first recording of the instrument of the 4-string, the 8-string, occurred in 1956. Now, during the 1930s, Greece was home to many notable bouzouki makers who played a crucial role in the development and the popularization of the music. Here are some of the renowned bouzouki makers of that period, but let's just enjoy this one track before we do, which is Adonis Dalga, and then I'll talk about the famous makers. That is once again the unmistakable voice of Adonis Dalgas. Okay, now moving to some of the pioneers of the bouzouki makers in Greece at the time. First off is Ioannis Tsouloulianis, who was born in 1893 and passed away in 1965. Tsourgulanis was one of the most influential bouzouki makers of the time. He was highly known for his craftsmanship and innovative designs, and he was prominent. He was based in Piraeus, Tsourgulanis. Excuse me. The next person who was also quite popular, but the reason why I paused is because as a guitarist, I appreciate this person as well. Anastasios Stathopoulos, who was born in 1883 and passed away in 1962. Anastasios Stathopoulos was a Greek luthier who emigrated to the United States, who was originally from Lakonia in Peloponnesus. He was an instrument maker. And when he moved to America, he established the Epiphone Company. While he primarily focused on guitars, Stathopoulos was also one of the primary bouzouki makers in the 1930s. And so his skills in bouzouki making also transferred to guitar making. And of course, Epiphone to this day in America is one of the most revered guitars brand in America, which is quite incredible to think that he started off as a bouzouki maker from Greece, Lakonia, and then he went to America. And still to this day, his instruments are being made. Another maker is Panayotis Papadopoulos, born in 1902 and passed away in 1978. Papadopoulos was also quite prominent in the 1930s. He was known for his meticulous attention to detail and craftsmanship. Many of the famous bouzouki players at the time preferred to play a Papadopoulos bouzouki. Another maker at the time was a gentleman called Michalis Dalgas, born in 1886, passed away in 1942. He was also quite prominent. It's worth noting that quite a few of these makers were actually from Asia Minor. Now, the next couple of makers that I'm going to refer to were actually did come across to Greece as part of the population exchange that we mentioned in the 1930s. And this is intergenerational craftsmanship that I'm about to say. The first gentleman is a gentleman called Agop Tsikirian, who was born in 1905. Agop was actually Armenian. He's the grandfather of his grandson still to this day makes bouzoukis. Agop Tsikirian came to Greece as a refugee from Smyrna in 1922. His family, as well as many other refugees, settled in Piraeus, and he was already quite an established instrument maker. Agop was from Armenia, and he opened his first store in Piraeus in the address of 7 Fokinios Street, and he was an educated man. He had really great relationships with a lot of the musicians from Asia Minor. And when he passed away, he passed his shop to his son. He continued to build all these instruments, and he ended up making quite a good reputation for himself. At the workshop, he used to work for a luthierer called Zorzef, another prominent maker at the time. Agop was famous. His clients were Marcos Van Vakaris, Yorgos Batsis, Yovan Zawus. And Agop made one of the paglamas that was the favorite for Yorgos Batis, and he carried it with him right up until the end. When Batis died, it was his wish to be buried with that paglama. Agop Tsikirian passed away in 1973 and now was able to pass on his skills to his two sons, Onik Tsikirian. Now, Onik Tsikirian was born in 1931. It was his son. And he decided to open his own workshop, and he was also quite prominent in the 60s. Many of his clients, Onik Tsikirian, was Manolis Hiotis. The famous black bouzouki that Hiotis played in some of the Greek films in the 1960s was made by Onik Tsikirian. In November 1970, for family reasons, Onik emigrated to America, and he opened his own shop in Los Angeles, where he hides, where he was hired by the Fender Guitar Company. He spent some time with the Fender Company, and his experience enabled him to get a green card and live in the United States. So Onik Tsigarian wanted to have his own shop, and in 1973, he moved to New York, where he opened his own shop. A few years later, his son, Carlos, who's still alive to this day, joined him and went to the New York school to study, where he eventually opened his own shop. Onik Tsigarian was considered one of the best luthers of the times, according to Manolis Hiotis, who was quite a prominent bouzouki player as well. So I hope that gives you a bit of a snapshot about some of the instrument makers of the time, bearing in mind that a lot of these were refugees who came across and brought their skills to Greece. So just that, so if you do have a chance to look up quite a few of these instrument makers, there's three of them that come to mind. One is Agop Tsakirian, who was Armenian. The other was Zozef, Z-O-Z-E-F. And the other person that I mentioned is the Banayi brothers as well, who their father came across from Asia Minor with the two sons, Banayi, and the two sons eventually became also quite prominent bouzouki makers in the 50s and 60s. Thank you once again for listening to Lovers of Rebetika. I'll be back again next week. And next week, I will focus on Manolis Hiotis. If you do enjoy these podcasts, please do consider becoming a patron for the cost of a coffee every month. And that will enable me to keep doing this. Thank you once again for listening to Lovers of Rebetika.